show. We're gonna need a
bigger, 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 bigger.
We're gonna need a big show. We're gonna need a bigger show with Mike, Cam, and guests.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand new Bigger Show segment. What is this called?
It's called, You Haven't Heard That?
You Haven't Heard That.
You Haven't Heard That.
With sound engineer Alex.
That's me.
This is kind of your baby, a little bit.
Yeah.
Did you come up with it, or did I come up with it, and we kind of collaborated on it?
I want to say that I came up with it, but it was after You Haven't Seen That, so it's my derivative work based on your original, okay. to use the copyright lingo. But yeah, so today we're going to be listening to a record that came out in, I believe, 2005. It's a record called Plans by Death Cab for Cutie. Mike, what's your current opinion on this band?
I mean, I like Death Cab. See, the thing is, the whole reason for this is I could be Mr. High and Mighty movie guy all day long. But when it comes to like having heard discographies of bands and like full albums, it's very... like few and far between. So I love their newest album,
Kintsugi.
I have listened to that from front to back, and that since like living with you and knowing you, I have appreciated like albums in their entirety more.
Aww.
So like being able to do this is kind of neat, just to be able to hear things as a whole for the first time. So yeah, I mean, as far as this album goes though, I mean, I don't know much about it.
Plans was very important because, for one, it broke Death Cab to a mainstream audience really for the first time. Their prior couple of albums, the Photo album and Transatlanticism, were kind of seen as maturations of the band, but Plans was another step entirely. Their first several records were, I want to say three or four, were... you know, what we categorize as, you know, emo and like classic emo records. With Transatlanticism, though, they kind of, it's a concept album, and they entered into this kind of like sprawling, almost progressive rock territory. But with Plans, they kind of tightened it up, and it's more of a concerted effort and more of a streamlined, mature sound. Okay. And it also had the song "I Will Follow You Into the Dark" on it, which was a fucking huge smash hit.
Right.
That people still, you know, play on acoustic guitars on college campuses to this day.
I know this one pretty
right.
well.
It also had Soul Meets Body and Crooked Teeth, which were also, you know, fairly big hits, but none of them as big as I Will Follow You Into the Dark, which also featured a really kind of iconic video. I don't know if you have you seen
I've
that. Have you seen the video?
Video either. No.
The video for that. Actually, all the videos from this album are incredible, but the one for that one is particularly affecting. But yeah, the album as a whole is a lot darker than anything they had done beforehand. Really. Mm-hmm. Even though obviously it's none of it's you know, it's not summer sunshiny music,
right?
It
rarely is with them.
Barely. I think that you'll enjoy it as a fan of Kintsugi, even though the albums do not sound alike.
Okay,
it's them kind of, you know, on as I said, on the other side of maturity. Plans
so
with them kind of finding
go,
their sound.
I should not go into this expecting to hear that, right? Kintsugi. Like, I shouldn't
no,
expect that.
Not at all. Because Kintsugi sounds completely different from the album before it, Codes and Keys. Each of their albums has a very, very different sound, but Plans is... The reason I chose Plans is because it is probably the most iconic of theirs, although it is not my favorite.
And then, so I guess we should also talk, I mean, kind of how we are picking right now is, you know, we kind of have a list going, and... I mean, we kind of have to come to some agreement on it, but
right.
You're kind of curating,
yeah,
more or less.
Basically, I want to do kind of the same thing that you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's albums that, you know, probably a lot of you out there have heard or at least have been exposed to. Where and it's things that, you know, slip through the cracks, and the point is that happens to all of us,
right.
You know, everybody has that one movie that they've never seen or that one album that they've never heard that where everyone's just like, what what the fuck, you haven't seen that?
And in yours, in my case, a ton of movies and a ton of albums.
Right, so. Right, exactly. So with that,
we are going to go listen.
Yep, and we'll be back after this.
So since we can't really play any recordings from the album, this is me doing one of the songs off our new favorite record, Plans by Death Cab for Cutie. This song's called Your Heart is an Empty Room.
Smoke on the ground and start new. Then your heart is an empty room with walls of the deepest blue. Homes face how it ages when you're. Find the love that's true, but you don't know what now to do, 'cause the chase is all you know. And she stopped running months ago. Oh, and all you see is where else you could be when you're at home. Not be alone. The flames and smoke climbed out of every window and disappeared with everything that you held dear, and you shed not a single tear. The things that you didn't need, 'cause you knew you were finally free. And all you see is where else you could be when you're at home. Out on the street, so many possibilities to not be alone. And all you see is where else you could be when you're at home. Out on the street, so many possibilities to not be alone.
And we're back.
Whoop.
Okay, Alex.
All right. So, we have just finished listening to Plans all the way through.
Yes, we have.
With only a couple of stereo related snafus.
All your fault.
All my fault. My CD player tried to cut off during Crooked Teeth, and it was a fucking travesty. So I guess what I want to know right off the bat is, did you like it? And how did it compare to, A, what you thought the album would be? You know, how you did you think you would like it? And how does it compare to Kintsugi, their newest record?
Oh, geez. One question at a time, sir. Firstly, did I like it? I liked it a hell of a lot, actually. I don't know that I expected to. Because you like a lot of bullshit? No.
Mike is known for his witty quips, everyone.
Fuck you, Alex. How about that one?
It's funny.
Slap you in your face. Yeah, man. No, I really, really, really enjoyed it. I didn't know that I would like it. As far as like what I expected, I don't know that I really had an expectation.
Fair enough.
If I were to say that I was comparing it to I Will Follow You Into the Dark, of like what I expected else from the album.
Right.
And not really recognizing the other singles until I heard them, because I've heard those before.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually kind of the standout, like, as much as I love that song, it almost feels like the one that doesn't belong on the album.
I agree with that completely. It's the only one that's not full band. It's the only one that's not really, like, a rock song.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really bizarre. But, I mean, obviously that's still a really strong song. But as far as, like, it being the strongest on the album or, like, why it became the most popular, I'm not really sure. I mean, I understand why it's a popular song.
But sheer simplicity.
Right, right.
And it's easy to remember and all
but
that.
But if you look at it compared to some of the other material on the album, it's kind of shocking.
Which songs or which parts of the album did you say you liked better than I Will Follow You Into the Dark?
I think lyrically, Summer Skin, I really, really enjoyed. I also liked Your Heart Is an Open Room.
That is my favorite on the record.
I think musically, Different Names for this for the Same Thing, because of that switch in the middle, mm-hmm. is pretty impressive.
I had to warn Mike beforehand that there was some crazy shit in that song that was gonna blow his mind.
Yeah, and it fucking did.
Just the drum break in that song is incredible.
I think my favorite off the album was definitely Someday You Will Be Loved.
And why is that?
I don't know. It's the thing that I said to you where I feel like it's almost like an Irish folk song, kind of masquerading as a, maybe not a pop song, but kind of, I mean, definitely, you know, the way that it's structured. And if you were to take out, if it was as stripped down as I Will Follow You Into the Dark, it would be much folkier and, you know, kind of have that Irish feeling to it. That's not what I like. I mean, I liked it lyrically because I feel like we've all been there.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I thought the dissonance that's at the end of what Sarah said is really unsettling.
Yeah.
And not that I disliked it, because I mean, I like that song a lot, but I felt like there's dissonance that leads into track 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's really bizarre.
Right.
But... yeah, man. That's kind of what I did like about it.
What was there anything in particular that you disliked about it?
No, not really.
Obviously, I won't bite your head off. This is...
I really don't understand Brothers on a Hotel Bed, but...
Mm.
But other than that...
Was it just lyrically confusing, or...
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. I mean, like, I like some of the things within the lyrics, but I don't like Brothers on a Hotel Bed. Like, that, I mean, that phrase, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be taking away from that. So, I don't know. Do you have thoughts on that?
Let me
stop you for a second.
You know me, of course. I have thoughts on that.
Yeah, man. School me.
Rock
me, Amadeus.
Anyway, personally, as you know, as someone who. You know, not to say that my opinion is in any way the ultimate opinion, but I mean, as someone who thinks critically about song structure and lyrical content, I really actually dislike the last three songs on the album.
Oh, really?
Well, not so much the last track, Stable Song. I forgot what it was called for a minute. But I do enjoy that song. But quite honestly, I usually turn the album off after Crooked Teeth.
Really?
And it's not that those songs are bad, but it's that, in my opinion, they're boring compared to how incredible the first eight tracks are.
Well, I feel like tonally too, they kind of shift the tone of the album a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, it just doesn't think you're. I mean, you're right. Like as much as I do like what Sarah said, I feel like yeah, just totally, it's a weird shift, mm-hmm. and to end on Stable Song is kind of odd.
It's off when you have an album with such strong songs like, you know, Different Names for the Same Thing and Crooked Teeth and all of those, and then you end on something that feels almost like an afterthought. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Even lyrically, like it feels like an afterthought. It just felt kind of cobbled together.
Absolutely. And that's part of what I like about the previous album, Transatlanticism. The last track is a song called A Lack of Color, and it's one of the best things they've ever released. It's honestly one of my favorite lyrics ever written. But
this may surprise you, but I haven't heard that.
Oh, hi-yo. Yeah, and also there's one thing. It's interesting that you say you like what Sarah said, because that is far and away my least favorite track on the album. Oh, especially wow. the line that "Love is watching someone die," and the way that it is, the way that the vocal melody is structured with the music, I despise. And it is only that part of the song that I dislike.
Well, okay, but to combat that a little bit, hold on, let me get my handy dandy lyric sheet here. I don't want to rip it. Here.
It's one of the difficult parts of CD ownership, getting the booklet out of the fucking package.
Let's see. Sorry.
It's okay.
I mean, I think it has some pretty strong imagery, and I think that's what draws me to it.
Mm-hmm.
As I stared at my shoes in the ICU that reeked of piss in 409.
That is a really good line.
And each descending peak on the LCD took you a little farther away from me. Come on.
Hashtag terms.
Well, maybe. I mean, I have a one-track mind, so.
No. I agree. I'm not saying I'm not saying the song is bad. I don't like that part. And I feel and it's because for me a lot of what is cool about Death Cab is their Ben Gibbard's ability to express himself in this really bare emotional way, but by being very, very subtle. You know, there are a lot of lyrical and musical subtleties throughout the album. Whereas that particular part just seems a little melodramatic, and it's not even and it's a quibble that I have. You know, it's not even like obviously I think this album is incredible, and I have almost nothing but good things to say about it. I just like to point out the negatives because I'm like that. But I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, are there any other thoughts that you have on it?
Not particularly. I mean, it's one that I definitely want to, like, listen to again soon. And, I mean, there are tracks that... I mean, it was a nice surprise to like it as much as I did. I will say that.
Well, good.
So... Well, good! We did it!
We did a whole one.
We did a whole thing together. So for you haven't heard that, I have been Mike D.
And I have been Alex C. Have a wonderful evening.
Goodbye. We're gonna need a big show. We're gonna